Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you as we gather on this Sunday, this second Sunday in the season of Lent, to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just have a couple of announcements want to share with you. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about doing a reading together, a reading challenge, reading the Gospel of Mark. Someone came up with a good idea, a wonderful idea, to read the Gospel of Mark throughout the season of Lent. So we challenge you to do that. The Gospel of Mark is relatively short. It's the shortest of the Gospels, and so you have time to read all of it before Holy Week. But I would challenge you again to just read the Gospel. Try to read it all through at one time if you can, but take your time just to read it and to listen what God might be telling us through the Gospel, to listen what the Lord Jesus Christ might be saying us, and to listen to what the Spirit might be prompting us as we embark upon our journey to the cross during the season of Lent. So please participate in that challenge of reading the Gospel of Mark, as we approach the cross with our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Just another announcement to make: there will be a spring cleanup day on Saturday, March the 29th. It will begin at 9 a.m. and last until noon. So we'll be spending time cleaning up the church, cleaning up the outside of the church, and maybe doing some work on the inside too. The kitchen is always in need of attention. That's going to be March the 29th at 9 a.m. There are other things, of course, going on at Alney Presbyterian Church. Please take the time to read your bulletin thoroughly. Also, go to our webpage to stay abreast of all that is happening at Alney Presbyterian Church. Our gospel reading today will come from the Gospel of Luke. We'll be reading from the 13th chapter of Luke's Gospel, beginning at verse 31 through verse 35, and it is found on page 907 of your pew Bibles. So let us at this time listen to God's word for us. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And Jesus said to them, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, killing the prophets and stoning those who are sent to you, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not? Behold, your house is forsaken, and I tell you, you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Our epistle reading this morning comes from the Book of Philippians. We'll be reading from chapter 3 of Philippians, verses 17 through chapter 4, verse 1. And again, it is found on page 1024 of your pew Bibles, and let us again listen to God's word for us. "Brethren, join in imitating me, and mark those who so live as you have an example in us. For many, of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is the belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our commonwealth is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will change our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power which enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brethren, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. It's the word of the Lord. Amen. Said this before, but they took the cross down from Rydal Park a few years ago. Rydal Park, many of you know, is a senior living facility where some of our members have lived, and indeed we have one of our members who lives there now. It's a wonderful little community, and I know some of you have been there for various functions, but it used to have a great big Celtic cross on the front of the building that could be seen from quite a distance. Whenever I'd go down Rydal Park Avenue or whatever that street is on my way to Whole Foods, I like to look over and see that great big Celtic cross on the front of the building. But as I said, they removed the cross a few years ago. It was a marketing decision. The powers that be wanted to make sure that Rydal Park was seen as a welcoming and inclusive community for people of all religions and all backgrounds, and I totally understand that. But still, I was a little sad that it was taken down, because the cross itself, I think, is a wonderful symbol of everything one would want a community to be, a symbol of welcome, symbol of inclusion, a symbol of sacrifice and service and love. Here we are in the second Sunday of Lent, and Lent is a time when we are invited to reflect on the cross and what it means to be people of the cross. And that's what the Apostle Paul wants us to think about in our epistle passage for this morning. You know, Paul had a lot to say about the cross. In fact, Paul not only talked about the cross, but he lived the cross. And that's important, because for Paul, the cross is not just an atonement mechanism where we talk about how Christ has died for our sins. But for Paul, the cross is a way of life. A way of life that characterizes the life of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The way of sacrificial, self-giving love for others. Paul talked about that over and over again. That's why he tells the Corinthian church in the book of Corinthians, one of his most difficult congregations, that he came to them not just preaching Christ, he says, but Christ crucified. And he was reminding them that this very arrogant and self-obsessed congregation of the cruciform way of life. They are called to live a cruciform way of life. Right at the center of the faith, he reminds them, is a cross. And that's why he tells the people of Philippi earlier in the book that we read here this morning. He tells them, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who emptied himself and poured himself out for the sake of the world. He was reminding them, too, of the cruciform way of life. That's what Paul is reminding us of as well, the cruciform life, the way of the cross, the way of giving of ourselves, the way of suffering love for others. That's the way of life that we are called to walk as well. But Paul says something here that's a bit interesting. He says that there are those who he calls enemies of the cross. And when Paul talks about being an enemy of the cross, he's not talking about those who don't believe in God. He's not talking about those who don't believe in Christ. There are lots of people out there who are like that. Lots of people who don't believe. Lots of people who like to heap calumny on religious folk, on people in the church. But Paul's not talking about them. Nor is he talking about people of other religious traditions, people who might see themselves as being in competition with us Christians. No, when Paul talks about being those people who are enemies of the cross, he's talking about people who are a part of the fold. He's talking about people who purport to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about people who lift up the cross, but who live lives that are contrary to the way of the cross. The way of generosity and service. The way of kindness and love. Paul says that they are enemies. Enemies of the cross. Traditionally, Lent has been a time when we Christians are called to be on guard against sin. And sometimes in the tradition, there were seven deadly sins that the church was called to be on guard against. Seven deadly sins, seven ways of thinking, or seven ways of looking at the world. These are ways that crop up in all of us, and we have constantly to battle against them because they are antithetical to the ways of the cross. Things like greed or gluttony, the desire that we can never be satisfied. We're always wanting more and more. We live in a society that encourages us never to be satisfied, to always consume, to always want more and more. In fact, our whole economy runs on that desire, that constant dissatisfaction, that constant need of wanting more and more. Pride, which is a way of elevating oneself and thinking more highly of ourselves than we should. Often when we have pride or excessive pride, we tend to think the rules don't apply to us. We tend to think that the rules only apply to lesser people, but we are above all of that because we are better than that. We elevate ourselves. We have this pride. Kind of spiritual pride, lust, the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh, the constant pursuit and gratifications of our lust. We live in a society that encourages us to lust after the things, lust after consumer goods, lust after other people, to lust. Anger and wrath, a disposition towards others that often lacks understanding and empathy and forgiveness, and that often leads to violence and hatred. And of course, there are others, apathy, which is an inattentiveness to spiritual matters, spiritual disciplines like praying and reading scripture and coming to church, all of those spiritual disciplines that are necessary. Sometimes we're kind of apathetic towards those things. And of course, envy, which carries within itself the seeds of hatred and revenge and violence. As followers of Christ, we are encouraged to be on the lookout for all of these things within our own hearts because they are so contrary and antithetical to the way of the cross. But have you noticed how all of these things today are so shamelessly lifted up in our society and celebrated? Even in the church, sometimes, especially in the church, these are the things that are often celebrated. These are the things that are often lifted up. Greed, we live in a society that tells us that greed is good. Anger, lust, the more of these that people embody, the more they are celebrated and looked up to, even in the church. We've even come to see people who embody these things as saviors. But to the extent that we do so, Paul says that we become enemies of the cross. There's a cross that we are called to follow, a cross that we are called to embrace. Someone once said that the biggest religion in our day is something that they call the cult of the self. And the cult of the self is just what it sounds like. It's an obsessive preoccupation with the self, a preoccupation with our own needs, with our own dreams, our own desires. And that happens even among God's people. It happens even in God's church. It's this constant preoccupation with ourselves. And the Bible reminds us that the Christian faith is not about us. It's not about me. It's not about you, but it's about God. It's about the God that we come to know in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the God that we come to know in the Lord Jesus Christ is not obsessed with himself. He's not obsessed with himself, but he is obsessed with me. He's obsessed with you. He's obsessed with the whole world. And so he walks in a particular way. He walks the way of the cross, the way of suffering love for others. And he invites all of us to follow him. And so Paul says, don't be an enemy. Don't be an enemy of the cross. I was reading a speech the other day by Andy Stanley, who's a pastor and an author, and he was addressing the Global Leadership Summit. And he was saying that one of the problems with many of us Christians here in the USA is that we want to win. We want to be winners. We want to win by any means necessary. He says we've been taught that by the prevailing culture all around us. The culture teaches us to be winners. The culture cultivates that desire within us to be winners. But the problem for us, he notes, is that we, all of us here, owe our allegiance to a crucified Lord. And winning to the crucified Lord looks totally different than what it looks like to the world. To the crucified Lord, winning is not about being first. It's not about getting to the top of the line. But winning is of our willingness to be last. To the crucified Lord, winning is not about being served, but winning is about serving others. It's not about dominating over others. It's not about lording over others, but it's our willingness to serve others. To the crucified Lord, winning is not about trying to hold on to our lives, but it's about giving our life to God and giving our lives to others And that's what it means to be people of the cross. Some people can accept that definition of winning, and other people cannot accept it. I think that was the problem with the people in Jerusalem in our gospel reading this morning. You know, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's on his way to the cross, and he's told to look out because Herod, King Herod, wants to kill him, and Jesus isn't concerned about that because he's going somewhere. He's going to the cross. But he knows the people in Jerusalem have a different understanding of what it means to win. They have a different understanding of what it means to be God's people. And Jesus can look down the line, and he knows that their hardness of heart is going to end in destruction. And so he grieves over them. Just like he grieves over all of us who won't accept his way. And that's what he tells them, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I grieve over you, how I wish I could protect you, how I wish I could bring you under my wings like a mother hen, but you won't have any of it. Because you have your own definition of what it means to win. There was a television program not long ago called The Biggest Loser. It was one of those reality shows, one of those reality shows that I hate, but that was kind of fun to look at, The Biggest Loser, where people would compete with each other to see who lost the most weight, who could lose the most weight. But there's a sense in which the Apostle Paul was one of the biggest losers. In many respects, Paul looked like a big loser. He tells the church at Philippi that at one time he had it all. He was a Pharisee, a religious leader. He had a career. He had friends. He had acquaintances. He was looked at with certain esteem. He had a certain pedigree. He had a certain vision and understanding of how he wanted his life to go and what he wanted it to be like. To a certain extent, he had it all. He had the things that he wanted. But then one day, he met the Lord Jesus Christ, and all of that changed. His world was turned upside down. And Paul says, all of that I gave up. All of that I counted as loss. All of that I begin to look at as so much rubbish. And it gave Paul a whole new perspective on life and what life was all about. Life was not about winning and our definition of winning. But he began to look at life from the perspective of the cross. And it's interesting because Paul began to devote his life to going around the Roman Empire. You know, the mighty Roman Empire. Paul is going all around the Roman Empire. And he's creating these little communities these little ecclesias, they called. Today we call them churches. And he's creating these communities that make the profession that the crucified Messiah is the true Lord of the world. Please note that Paul isn't doing what we would call today religion. He's not going around trying to found a religion. He's not going around saying, I've got this new religious experience that I want to share with you. No, he's setting up these little colonies. He's setting up these little communities of people who profess that Jesus is Lord, the crucified Jesus is the true Lord of the world. And Paul is saying that it's that crucified Messiah and his coming kingdom that you and I owe our allegiance to. And the symbol of that kingdom, of that coming kingdom, is none other than the cross, a symbol of self-giving, sacrificial love for others. And so Paul says, don't be an enemy of the cross. Still a little disappointed every time I go over to near Rydell Park and I don't see that cross on the building. I wish they wouldn't have taken it down. But here's the thing, people can still see the cross. They can still see the cross in all of us. They can see the cross in you and in me, in the way that we live our lives, a way that is different than the ways of the world. They can see the way of the cross whenever we give our allegiance to the God's coming kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. They can see what it means to belong to God's coming kingdom because they see it in all of us. And what they see is not the way that prevails all around us. What they see is not the way of anger, or the way of pride, or the way of envy, or the way of lust. What they see are people all over this community and all over the world who are resolved not to be preoccupied with our own selves, but who have resolved to love each other, to care for each other, to be there for each other, to help each other, and to be for each other and for the world. And Paul is saying that it's people like you and me gathered here this morning who will change the world, because the world belongs to God. The world belongs to all of us. God has already overcome the world. And so he tells us, don't be an enemy of the cross, because it is the cross that points the way to God's coming future. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have shown us the way that we are called to live. And during this season of Lent, you have asked us to think about what that means and how radical it is to live not as enemies of the cross, but as friends of the cross. Help us with your grace and with the power of your Spirit to embrace that way. Help us to live not for ourselves and to get out of ourselves, just as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did not live for himself, but lived completely for you and for all of us. And we ask all of these things in the name of the crucified Lord. Amen.